Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. I'm joined today with Scott Stedman, and we are going to start a 4 or 5 week episode series here about a very important topic. Because if you're on a church staff, this is your reality. And this topic is going to be, what's the relationship like between a senior pastor or a lead minister, whatever you call them, the person leading your church, and the sports minister? And how can that relationship be better? And so, Scott, I think a good way for us both to kind of dive in, because I want us to focus on the senior pastor perspective, because both of us have served in that capacity. So before I kind of share my experience, share what you have experienced in terms of that level of leadership in
the past. Yeah. So I think being in a role of senior pastor is so much different than being in an auxiliary pastor position. Mainly because depending on how the church is structured, the senior pastor is pretty much in every single meeting known to man at the church. And then you have your community meetings. So really, it's constant sitting there discussing things, trying to figure out vision planning, trying to figure out, next steps. If things aren't going so well, whether you're seeing a schism within the church or within your denomination to financial situations, the lead pastor is in that position, kind of in the thick of it. Is sometimes when it comes to having either volunteers or staff underneath you, depending on, if you're in a larger church or smaller church, there's a lot of things that affect from the top down. I'd say it's one of those things where when you go into ministry, I think a lot of times when people go into ministry, they're like, man, I want to win people for Jesus. And, growing up in my church, I had a great experience. So it seemed like being a pastor was cool and doing all this stuff. And then you get into being in that role and you're like, oh, man, what did I sign up for? It's, I think sometimes, it's hard. There's going to be challenges and it's going to take a toll on you mentally, spiritually, physically, and even on your family. But I think sometimes you don't really know how much it affects you until you've been doing it for multiple years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you just described is the burden of leadership, that unless you're seated in that chair, you just don't understand all the details that go into it. And like you said, even how it affects your family. And so if you don't mind, share us how long you were a lead pastor and also what your current role is. I know you're at a different church now, but kind of share what your experience has been in those different titles.
Yeah. So, I think if I go back to just like having people under me to, being, a small church pastor, I could go all the way back to like my camp ministry for 10 years, going from kind of being the person that had to handle like whatever programming to actually having people under you over time as that ministry started getting big, to interim work, to being the lead pastor. And I was a lead pastor for almost a decade at two different churches, one bivocationally up in Youngstown, and then close to seven in Virginia. And those were always challenging because they were, either you had a good team that supported you, that was there to, go through it together and saying, hey, we're all in this together. Let's try to navigate some of the highs and the lows of ministry. And then you could have some times where you could have certain leadership changes within your governing board or elder board or staff, and it's like, oh man, we're not on that same mindset where we're all this together. It's like everyone's for themselves.
Yep.
It's like, well, if this ship's, you know, if this ship's starting to go down, either I'm sticking with it or I'm jumping off this thing. Like, I don't know. Depends. You know, it really just goes, it depends on the topic. So yeah, like, and now I'm serving as a family minister, so it's a little bit different. So I'm kind of the, I'm not the lead anymore, but I do have the responsibility of being another, you know, ordained pastor within the church, and then overseeing children and youth functions. And, you know, so sometimes that's challenging because that's like I'm dipping my toes in two different cultures, two different worlds, and trying to minister not only to kids, but also their families as well.
Yeah. And that's a key role. And I know that you're at a larger church. And so that's a ton of responsibility because you're working with parents and students. You know, I think as you were kind of describing your experience, I can relate because I've done pretty much all the things that you mentioned there. I've been the interim guy, which is really hard in a church setting, especially if you're ushered into that role and the church is hurting. I've pastored a couple of churches as well. I think in total, I've been a lead guy for about 11 years. And much like you, I've served also as a sports minister, as a youth pastor. My role right now is pretty unique because I'm leading a church plant. However, I'm still under the staff structure of our sending church. So I do report to a senior pastor, and I'm also a senior pastor of this church plant getting off of the ground. And
yeah, that's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it really is. So it's like, well, I'm still submitting to someone, and it's great. I've got a great relationship with that church and with that senior pastor, and I've been in his seat. And Scott, what you just described, I think a lot of people may be listening to this, totally understand it. Whether you're a senior pastor or not, sometimes the staff is working together and the unity's there. And probably that's why, like Scott was saying earlier, that's why you got into ministry, because maybe you grew up seeing that. You grew up in a healthy church, and you saw this very healthy dynamic in unity, and the gospel was being shared and lives are being changed and your community was being impacted. But that's not always the case of a multi-staff church, or even if it's not all paid people of key leaders, sometimes there's disunity. Sometimes people do operate in their silos. Sometimes you don't feel like if you're leading that you do have good support. Sometimes you don't cast good enough vision so that people can follow. Sometimes your vision is great and your board, your elders, they get it, but sometimes the staff doesn't. I heard a longtime senior pastor say, "Thy rod and thy staff sometimes do not comfort me as a senior pastor." And I think that that's really, really very true depending upon your circumstances. So from the senior pastor perspective, so Scott and I were going to put this hat on, working with the sports minister, let's kind of hone in there. And so if you're a sports minister, this could be insightful for you. If you are a sports minister and you want to pass us on to your senior pastor to get their perspective, have a conversation. So I think there's six C's that I came up with. I think in this episode, we're going to cover the first few, but Scott, I want to share those with you. I'll share the first one, and then I'd love to get your comment on it. So these are the six C's of cooperation for the senior pastor to have a good working relationship with their sports minister. And I would say the first one is to clearly see the value in sports ministry, to clearly see that value. So Scott, as you kind of think about, I know you mentioned in the past when you were a senior pastor, you had upward basketball going on, but how would you comment on that? How can you clearly see the need for it, the vision, the purpose of sports ministry?
Yeah, so it's very interesting because if for those who may not be familiar with the whole Upwards organization, Like a lot of times when you do an upwards organization, you know, if you're a church that's hosting, usually there's a certain mile radius that another church cannot host. So a lot of times, especially where I was at, like we'd have an upwards program for basketball, but then there'd be another church probably like in a couple cities over, maybe like 20 minutes away, that would have an upwards basketball program. And I think what made ours unique is the other one had so many kids, like hundreds, where ours, we probably maybe have like maybe 50 to 80 kids at most, sometimes even less depending on the year and all that. And we even kept like increasing the age because I know some kids still want to do the program, even though they kind of aged out. So we kind of, and upwards gives you the freedom to increase it if you want to. But I know with the larger church, because they had so many kids, it was like, okay, here's a game. And then during the halftime show, which usually the cheerleaders would do their thing, if you had an upwards cheerleading program, or usually the pastor would speak or whatever. And what would happen is they would just play like a video, like maybe a Francis Chan teaching for like 5 minutes and then go on to the next game, depending if people would hear that now, if they're not chatting or talking in a loud gymnasium. So really, there are some people who would go to ours first, have their thing. Next year, they go over to the other church because they're like, well, we want our kid to play more people, because sometimes, you know, it seemed like, oh, we're playing the same couple teams, and it's like, that's not fun for them. But then the parents would come back the following year after that because they realize that the gospel portion of it was not being taken care of well, both in practice and what was happening during the actual games. So when you think of, when we talk about value, you know, you have to value, you know, at the end of the day, like what is the vision and what is the purpose of this program, and especially your sports minister leading this program. If you value this person's skills and techniques, which at some point I hope you do, because you had to hire this person in the first place, so you have to value them at some point. But also value kind of the work they're doing. And I think even with the value, you have to almost trust the process. Because especially if you're a church that has like zero sports outreach program and you decide to hire a sports minister to do something because you know that, hey, our community is like piping hot with sports activities, so we want to, you know, strike while the iron's hot, it's going to take time for that minister to understand the culture of the church that they're now, you know, that they're now staffed with, to understanding their community, to building the relationship with coaches, with parents, with other students, to be able to develop a program and even be able to see, okay, you know what, you know, if there's like, if you want to try to do a soccer program, but there's already 25 soccer programs out there, how are you going to compete or kind of have the thing that's going to you know, that's going to kind of elevate you above all the other things that have already been established. And, you know, it's very easy for people to say, well, we have the gospel presentation, so that what makes us different, which, yeah, I agree. But a lot of times, if your quality is not up there, then it doesn't matter if you're preaching, you know, you have the best Jesus gospel presentation of any sports program in the entire county or the entire world. If you have a below average, like sports, I can't even think of the words, Dan, I'm losing my train of thought. But if you have a below, but I mean, if it's subpar, just the quality of your sports ministry, then people aren't going to sign up for your soccer league or your football league because it's not up to snuff with the others in the community.
Yeah, they'll for sure join a rec league or a city league or something like that, and we can't blame them. People are looking for excellence, and I think that communicates value to the community. And I think if I take it a step further, exactly what you were saying, Scott, when I was a senior pastor and leading a multi-staff church, and I had been a sports pastor, one of the reasons I took my most recent pastorate before my current context was because they had a thriving sports ministry. And I knew from my previous time, I knew their sports minister. And so I remember when they did their basketball league, like I had to come in to the church for a meeting, and I saw all of these kids and all of these parents. And I saw the value of the fact that we've got people in our church building, many of whom do not go to a church anywhere. And so the value is right there in front of me. And so that led me to say, hey, I would like to volunteer. I'll get my kids plugged in. I'll help to coach their team. But I just want to rub shoulders with some of these parents and these players who are within our church building, because that shows the value of what we're trying to do here. We worship in a gym on Sunday morning. And I know Dr. Greg Linville says, well, you can worship in a gym on Thursday nights with a basketball practice. And he's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. But I think if we give sports ministry value, and in particular, if we're a lead pastor, if we say to the person leading our sports ministry, whether they're paid or not, hey, I want to be involved in some capacity. I may not know how to coach, but I can stop by and I can say hi to people. I can be a greeter. I can sell snacks. I can do whatever it takes to make sure that my presence on behalf of the church is building that bridge between what you're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to accomplish as a church. That's a win. And that instills value into the sports ministry in general, and also into the sports minister, again, whether they're paid or not. So we would just encourage you, you know, if there's any way for you to clearly see the value in sports ministry, do that. The second C is to help communicate a clear vision to the sports minister. And Scott, kind of think through your time at a church where there was some basketball ministry going on. How were you able to communicate that vision and even having those programs and in having a sports ministry within your church?
Yeah, and kind of hit back on the first C again, Dan. I think it's also a good for a lead pastor to make a habit of always encouraging your staff. You know, you don't need to encourage them anytime when they do things right, because again, that's always going to insinuate, man, the only time the pastor notices me is when, you know, we have like 200 people coming out for an event, or when we do this big thing or we do that. Like, make it a habit, like quarterly, monthly, just to check in and say, hey, I appreciate the hard work you're doing. I think that's a long way of kind of really valuing communicating how much value you have in your sports minister. So now going to the idea of communicating the vision, I think that is kind of tricky, because when you communicate vision there, it may be me as the lead pastor to either my volunteer that's running this sports program or to a staff. And then there is this program or the sports ministry program and how that's being communicated to the congregation. And sometimes those two things can be different. So for an example, Upwards basketball, we had a lot of people who signed up. You know, Upwards has like a price that they kind of suggest, like, here's how much everything's going to cost. And then you as a church leader or a sports minister, you can up the cost. And maybe a lot of times why sports ministers may do that is so that they can start building a scholarship fund. So if you have kids who cannot pay the amount or may not be able to pay anything at all, they could still be a part of the program. And you now have a build-up residual of scholarship money that you've done because everyone else is paying, you know, they're paying $80, but really it only costs $50 per kid to do Upwards, but you're doing that. So you're building, you know, you're building that up. So a lot of times things like that, like, you know, payment and where's that money going to? And I mean, there's been times where money always becomes an issue, especially when you're have those years of want or those years of famine, I guess you could say, where it's like, well, hey, we have $5,000 in the upwards program or in the sportsmanship project, why can't we take money out of that to kind of help pay the bills of the church? And I think that when you start getting into those questions, and that really starts to deteriorate vision. I think the other thing too is, you know, what's the purpose of your program? And what's the purpose? If the program of the sports minister is to, and it's agreed with the pastor and the sports minister that, hey, we want to see kids play sports and get to learn Christ. So this is a purely evangelistic program. So sports minister does exactly that, has these leagues. People are learning sports. They're learning skills. They're growing in their talents and then there's, and then their athleticism. And then they're also learning about Jesus, and they're now starting to become a follower in Jesus. They're starting to be commit. There's open invitations for these students and their parents to attend church. And even not only a church, not only the church that's hosting it, but any church. You know, that's a clear vision that the pastor and sports minister, we don't care where they go as long as they're going to church. And that's the thing. Yeah. But then you could be sitting in a board meeting. And then again, lead pastor could be sitting in a board meeting. And believe me, I know, because I've been in these board meetings before. Well, hey, what's the point of having this program if these people are not coming to our church? And that's where I think the vision is tricky, because the lead pastor and the sports minister can have a clear vision of what they want. Then the lead pastor can go sit in a meeting with other people who have no part or probably don't even participate, even just come and watch and just know what the sports minister is doing, but they're on these teams. And then their whole view of what this sports minister is supposed to be doing, he's supposed to be bringing families into this church. And sometimes that, in a way, becomes kind of a disruption in vision. And then there's pressure on the lead pastor to say, okay, maybe we need to tell people, don't be saying go to any church. You got to come to this church, because you know the lead pastor has that pressure now on them. And maybe the lead pastor's not saying, well, hey, I don't want to have to deal with this issue. Maybe, you know, but it could just be, hey, the lead pastor in some way saying, hey, try to make sure you're letting people know, change your tone as far as letting them come to this church if they're accepting Jesus and stuff, mainly because if we don't, they're going to cut your budget. The people who make the budget are going to cut it because they don't see the value of it, because all these people are coming to this program, but yet they're not setting foot in this church, even though they could be going to a different church that may be a 5-minute drive than a 15-minute drive to where you're going.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Dan?
No, it absolutely does. I think, you know, it falls in line with the scripture. It says where there's no vision, the people perish. And that's why I think it's so important for us to communicate a vision and work alongside, again, whether we're hiring a sports minister or it's a volunteer. More often than not, they're coming to us because they've got a passion. And their passion is to make a disciple of Jesus Christ or to reach those who are lost. And they want to use sports rec and fitness to make that happen. And so develop a vision with them. Or if God has given you a vision, okay, well, where does this ministry fit within that vision? If your vision involves something about making disciples, okay, well, here's a great vehicle for that. We've talked at length in other podcasts about this. You know that this is a big part of our mission as CSRM, is we want to equip local churches to make dedicated disciples of Jesus. And we know sports, rec, and fitness can be a great vehicle, great tool to make that happen. But if we don't communicate a vision as a senior pastor, as a lead pastor to that sports minister, they're left trying to just figure it all out.
Yeah.
And then you're probably, like you were describing earlier, you're just guessing at, okay, what's needed for our community, what's needed for our church. And, you know, through demographic studies and things like that, you can figure out. In fact, if we were to coach you as CSRM in your church to figure out, okay, what sports, rec, and fitness classes, programs, camps do you need to do? Well, look at at your community. What needs are there? But if you're a lead pastor and God has entrusted you for the vision along with your elders of your church, include that sports minister and communicate what they should be doing so that you can continue to walk forward. And I think that leads us to our final point for today's episode.
Real quick, before we get to the third C, I think the other thing when it comes to clear vision too, and I'll hear your thoughts on that. It's like, for example, like the scenario I did, like, you know, the pastor and the sports minister could have a clear vision of what that sports minister's role is and what they're doing is, but the other leadership team or maybe other staff do not.
Yeah.
Like somehow that's not they. And I think if you have like a board of elders, make sure as a lead pastor, make sure that the board of elders are at least attending or participating or witnessing the sports ministry aspect of what's happening. Because it's so easy, it's so clear that elder boards can become more like board of directors where you just show up, you make decisions, you go home and have really no association with the church besides like, you know, giving your tithe. And I think in that way, it's very easy since I don't know what's happening in youth ministry. I don't know what's happening in children's ministry. I don't know what's happening in sports ministry, that when it comes time to make decisions or pay cuts or whatever, or cut staffing roles or ask all these questions, a lot of the questions that you may have or your leadership may have can be answered if they just show up and participate. Then it's like, well, why? How come these people aren't coming? Oh, that's why, because I talked to these families, and some of them are driving 30 miles away to get to our program because we're the only football program within a 30, 50 mile radius. So no wonder they go to church they live right next to a church. They're going, it's a pastor's kids. A pastor and his family can't come to our church because they have their own church they have to like minister to. So once you start to understand that and you start to kind of see the vision a little bit more clearly, then it helps make a lot of these things and understand more of the value of the sports minister and the vision that they have.
No, I think that's well said. In fact, that leads in very well to the next C. So I'm glad that you said that because you set it up perfectly. And we would say that means to consciously include the sports minister in your church's vision achievement. And Scott, I think that's what you were just describing. If you're working with your board, as you're going into that board meeting and you know they want to see metrics, okay, how's the church doing? How are you as a lead pastor leading the staff? How are you fulfilling the vision for the church? And they want metrics that are very concrete. Well, you can include the sports ministry and the sports minister. And I think in a few different ways, very practically, bring the sports minister into the board meeting, have them give a quick update as to what's happening, how many families are involved to your scenario earlier, how many people are going to a church somewhere?
Yeah.
If it's your church, fantastic. But if people were disconnected to a church, there are ways to find out, are they going somewhere? Celebrate that. Share that metric with your overall board so they can see we are achieving our vision. Or if you have stories, you know, hey, we're all about making dedicated disciples in this church. Do you know that we have a coach of our volleyball team who's been working with this one family for the past two seasons? And we saw a marriage healed and we see children who got baptized. Share those things with your board and with your staff, or from the pulpit where it makes sense, you know, include those in sermon illustrations about what the church is doing. Because when people know, hey, this ministry and this person leading that ministry or this class, they're actually helping to achieve our vision that God has given us, that's reason to celebrate. So what thoughts do you have about that, Scott?
Yeah. And I think that kind of speaks to kind of where I'm at, because even though I'm like in a, you know, again, I'm not the lead anymore, I'm like in a auxiliary role within the church as being the family minister. You know, there's a part of me that, you know, we're revamping our website. We have this big campaign that we're doing. And I mean, one of the things is trying to understand, okay, how has our culture shift within the church? And this is what the lead's doing. You know, how has our culture shift so we can really develop a new vision for the church, which is fantastic. And I know for me, it's like, well, here's my ideas of my vision for specific youth and children's ministry. And I've had this for at least a year now. And I haven't really implemented or put it in writing or put it on a site or anything, because it's like, well, I don't want to put something out there. And then once we finally kind of understand, once the trustees and the past lead finally have, okay, here's the vision of the church. Do they fit with my vision for family ministry? So, you know, so I think having the sports minister be part of those conversations, being part of kind of that idea for the overall vision of the church, because you don't want to get to a point where, and you don't want to get to a point where there's this feeling of sports ministers gone rogue because they're doing their own thing outside of the church. And it's really not necessarily, it's like they had a vision. The vision of the overall mother church has changed, but they didn't bring in the sports minister to say, hey, where are your thoughts on this? So you have two different visions now, and now you start to get that friction, you know? Yeah. So I think that's kind of the bigger thing is, you know, make sure your sports minister is in those meetings with your elder board, with your trustees board, with your higher leadership boards to talk about vision, to talk about things and get their input. Cause they could say, hey, like you said, Dan, here's where I'm seeing God moving. Yeah. We're seeing kids be more responsive to the gospel, but me or some of my coaches have been working hard with some families and we've seen marriages restored. We've seen people fight off, you know, give up addictions to smoking or to drinking or whatever the case may be. And, you know, those are the type of things that they need to hear to go, okay, that's something we need to really think about when we're vision planning, when we're doing these things. You know, how can the church be the church, and how can, you know, and how can the church do the same, be effective as our sports minister is doing on the field? Yep. How can we do, how can we be as effective on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, on a Tuesday night? You know, how can we benefit really ministering to some of our groups that are using our church, like Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous? That's just, they're using our space and that's pretty much it. But how can we kind of minister to those people? What are some creative ways we can do to kind of talk to those people to really help them and bring the healing power of the Holy Spirit into their lives?
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard an old saying in coaching, and I think this totally applies to ministry and leadership in general. And it's, you want to celebrate the behavior you want to see others live out. So if you're coaching someone and someone's getting a drill and it's perfect, they're doing a great job, you want to stop and say, hey, look, this is how we want this done. If you're leading a staff or if you're leading volunteers, whether that person's a sports minister or not, in this context, that's what we're talking about. And they're making a difference. They're leading well. They are helping the church to achieve its vision. Celebrate it. Point it out. Include it in things that are measurable for those in leadership over you as well. And so we just want to encourage you with that. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today's episode, but we've covered the first threes. The first three C's. In the next episode, we'll cover the last three of the six C's about this relationship between a senior pastor and what he or she can do to make it work with a sports minister to make it the best relationship possible. So if you're a senior pastor, we really encourage you, please join us again next week. If you're a sports minister, pass this episode along and invite your senior pastor to watch or listen to the next episode as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time. Take care.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Lindell is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.